Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The master commended the dishonest, unrighteous manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Our Lord Christ does not commend to us these conniving, scheming, dishonest steward from today's gospel reading on account of him being unrighteous, and he is. But he commends him to us on account of his wisdom and his shrewdness and his zeal, which he used to so wisely help himself with the unrighteous mammon. Luther said of this part of the text, quote, "It is as though I would urge someone to watch, to pray, and to study the Word of God. And I would say, look here, murderers and thieves, they wake at night to rob and steal. So why then do you not wake up at night to pray and study? By this I do not praise murderers and thieves for their crimes, but for their wisdom and foresight, that they may so wisely obtain these goods of their unrighteousness." Unquote. The steward uses his cunning and wisdom to save himself with great zeal. What if we Christians were that zealous for the benefit of others, for the righteousness of others? What if we acted as shrewdly and as courageously for God's kingdom as this steward does for himself? I invite you to remember with me an example from our own congregation. The widow, Mrs. Caroline Voller, in the 1880s. She acted decisively with her wealth to buy this property that you're sitting on right now, here on Poplar Street. And she provided so generously that this sanctuary would be built, and for the chancel of this sanctuary, for the pulpit that I'm standing in right now to preach from, for the altar from which is served to you God's word and the blessed sacrament of our Lord. And then, to top it off, at the end of her life, according to our church records, our old church records, she went the extra mile, and she even provided funds for seminarians as part of her last will and testament upon her death. Why was she so zealous and generous? Well, we ask, why do Christians ever give and tithe of their first fruits for the sake of the gospel being preached here and abroad? Why do Christians bother to leave generous bequests from their estates to the congregation for these purposes for when they are in heaven and no longer here with us? Well, Jesus helps us answer this question from today's parable. He says at the end of the parable, "Make for yourselves friends out of the unrighteous mammon, that when it shall fail," that is, when you die, "they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles," the eternal dwelling. Baptized saints, Jesus is telling us, do these good deeds and more in their lifetime, because as children of the true light, They act with wisdom and shrewdness and zealousness to make friends in the here and now with mammon that they have been given, that they might meet many others in those eternal dwellings. They are zealous for Jesus' righteousness to cover others as it has first covered them. They are zealous that many might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. They're zealous that treasures, real treasures, not gold, not silver, not jewels, not the things that we think of as treasures, but people are treasures. Saved sinners. That these treasures might be built up in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves will never break in, never steal. Jesus is commending the zealousness of this unrighteous steward in today's gospel in order to urge you to be zealous, to give as you are given to, and to act shrewdly with all the cunning and the planning you can muster to fight your sinful flesh and your predilection to be lustful and greedy and to hoard for yourself and to use the gifts God gives you to make friends of those who live today, to do service to the poor sinners of this world who live in your time and among you, your nearest neighbors who need your help that God gives you in your life, who need to hear the saving gospel, to make them your friends in Christ with your mammon. Everything you have belongs to God. You are stewards of these things. You are entrusted with gifts from God for your time here. These gifts include the time, the goods, the house, the spouse, the children, every friend you have, the gifts of this wonderful creation. All of it is given to you for your good freely, even when you don't even pray for them. And yet, you and I are unjust stewards. Our sinful flesh gets in the way. We're not thankful as we should be. We don't use these things properly. We all misuse and abuse these things. We can't skip over that part. Now, the sons of this world are shrewder than the sons of light, because despite appearances, they have so little to work with. They are working with things that are doomed and destined to pass away and to be eternally forgotten. On the eternal scales, the earthly riches, the fame, the privileges, and all such things that this world thinks are important really count for nothing. That's why it's so devastating and sorrowful to see so many so zealous to riot and fight and hurt their neighbor and act as they do for the things of this temporal life, like we've seen in recent months. Meanwhile, you Christians, sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus, baptized into Jesus, you have all things. Despite every earthly appearance to the contrary, Christ has given you all things from heaven, and he gives and gives some more after that. He gives you undeserved daily bread for sure, but even more, he gives you the forgiveness of your sins on account of his blood and the comfort that you have a place in that eternal dwelling to come, and that you're not going to die, really, but you will live as he lives. Perhaps, though, that's why we lose our shrewdness and our zealousness. Like the ancient children of Israel in the wilderness that the Apostle Paul talks about in today's epistle, we know that we have all things, like they knew they had all things from God, and our sinful flesh takes advantage of that. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. For example, it's so very easy to be content with just a little of the eternal things each week, this 1 hour in divine service, And then we turn around, all of us, and concern ourselves 98% of the time, the rest of the time, with things that really don't matter, with things that are going to burn away at the last day when God ushers in the new heavens and the new earth, things that are going away. It's time for you and I to repent, to look to the mercy that is given in Jesus Christ. This man who came and was the and is the righteous steward of all things, who rightly does the will of his Father in all things, who acted with zealously and with heavenly shrewdness to cancel all the eternal debt that you had by laying down his life. He satisfied and wiped out your debt that you owed for every sin. He didn't call it 50 or 80. He calls it done. He shed every last drop of blood from his most holy cross on Good Friday. He was that zealous for you to give you his righteousness, to make you his own child and brother. And the Father in heaven accepted that great exchange of Jesus' righteousness for you. He raised his Son from the grave on Easter Day, and with him, you and I will be raised. Jesus even now stands before his Father in your place as your advocate. With the blood that has paid your debt entirely and completely, blood that has covered you in your baptism, on Christ's account, Jesus' righteousness has been declared yours, and you, his friends, friends that he has made, are secured with his most holy and precious body and blood. You will be raised to dwell with him, and he will receive you. He will receive you as his friend in the eternal tabernacle to come that he has gone ahead of us to prepare. And God grant that we are welcomed into that time and that place very soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.